You're back with Marco on Astro Talk on CITR 101.9 FM.
Good afternoon. This is Marco, and you're listening to Astro Talk on CITR 101.9. Well, what's happening in the world of astronomy these days? I think there's a lot always happening, because guess what? The universe is a pretty big place. So welcome. I hope you're having a good day. We are in fall now. We're moving closer to the sun, even though we are getting colder. So that's the weird thing about Earth. When it's the farthest away from the sun, it's summer. And when it's winter, it's on its closest approach to the sun, but it doesn't affect the temperatures, does it? So the tilt of the Earth seems to do that. So welcome. I'm going to talk more about planetary science today. And I promised everybody something, and I didn't keep my promise. I'm very sorry. I'm an author also. I've been writing two new books. They're all finished. So staying up late nights doing my books. I haven't been able to download the LIGO interview I did when I went to the LIGO Observatory in Washington. I went there in towards the end of August. So hopefully this next week I can get those. I think I have enough for three or four shows. So I toured the site, and I had on a hairnet or a head mask or a cap. My feet were also in feet socks, and I had laser-proof glasses on. But I didn't have my camera, so I'm sorry. I could have taken a picture. And I toured around with Dr. Mike Landry, so I'll bring you more of that. So now today we're going to do some planetary science. And there's an interesting story dated October 20th, which is today. It's on www.nasa.gov. And the title is Citizen Scientists Seek South Pole Spiders on Mars. So there's an image, and it said, this image shows spidery channels eroded into Martian ground. It is a September 12th, 2016 example from a camera called HiRISE, the high-resolution observation of more than 20 places that were chosen in 2016 on the basis of about 10,000 volunteers' examination of context camera lower resolution views of larger area. There's also a volunteer effort to do with maybe gravitational waves. It's called Einstein something, and there's other ones too. So very often, citizen scientists can contact NASA. And you know what? I'll get a list of programs that are available for citizen science, and I'll tell you about them next week. So citizen scientists, just like Michelle Kunimoto of UBC, that famous young lady who is now, I believe, studying in her master's degree, she discovered four planets. Isn't that amazing? So she made us proud here at UBC. So NASA has a lot of volunteer efforts for you citizen scientists, if you want to get involved and become famous like our Michelle Kunimoto. Anyway, I'm going to read this article now. Citizen scientists seek South Pole spider on Mars. 10,000 volunteers viewing images of Martian south polar regions have helped identify targets for closer inspection, yielding new insights about seasonal slabs of frozen carbon dioxide and erosional features known as spiders. From the comfort of home, the volunteers have been exploring the surface of Mars by reviewing images from the context camera, CTX, on NASA's Mars Reconnaissance Orbiter, which is nicknamed MRO. That's Mars Reconnaissance Orbiter, and identifying certain types of seasonal terrain near Mars's south pole. These efforts by volunteers using the Planet 4 Terrains website. There you go. Planet 4:Terrains website. So Planet 4:Terrains have aided scientists who plan observations with the same orbiter's high-resolution imaging science experiment. That's called HiRISE. So I brought that up earlier. High-resolution imaging science experiment camera. HiRISE photographs much less ground, but in much greater details than CTX. I wonder if HiRISE, I guess it's in orbit. Volunteers have helped identify more than 20 regions in mid-resolution images to investigate with higher resolution. I think that's what happened with Michelle Kunimoto. NASA discarded some of their data, and they only look at a certain resolution. So Michelle Kunimoto, what she did with her high intelligence, she investigated it deeper, and she found four new planets. So I'll read it through the article again, or through that last line again. Volunteers have helped identify more than 20 regions in mid-resolution images to investigate with higher resolution. So that's what Michelle Kunimoto did. It's heartwarming to see so many citizens of planet Earth donate their time to help study Mars. So says high-rise deputy principal investigator Candace Hansen of the Planetary Science Institute in Tucson, Arizona. Professor Hansen, thanks to the discovery power of so many people, we're using high-rise to take images of places we might not have studied without this assistance. So there was another story that comes to mind. I believe it was, we have in our solar system, our solar system outside of our solar system is called interplanetary space. That reminds me, I believe, of a fellow from Ontario who discovered or found on a comet some materials from interplanetary space. So that's another example of citizen sciences aiding their amazing amount of hours. And like in this Mars effort, there was 10,000 citizen scientists volunteering their efforts to help NASA. So I think I might start doing that. Planetary scientist Meg Schwab of the Gemini Observatory, Hilo, Hawaii, presented results from the first year of the Citizen Science Project Thursday at the annual meeting of the American Astronomical Society's Division for Planetary Sciences and the European Planetary Science Congress in Pasadena, California. The type of terrain called spiders, or their technical term is araneiform, from the Latin word for spiders, is characterized by multiple channels converging at a point, resembling a spider's long legs. Previous studies concluded that this ground texture results from extensive sheets of ice thawing bottom side first, as the ice is warmed by the ground below it. So the ice below the ground thaws first. That's strange. Thawed carbon dioxide gas builds up pressure, and the gas escapes through vents in the overlying sheet of remaining ice, pulling dust with it. This process carves the channel that resembles legs of a spider. So let's get this straight then. Sheets of ice thaw from bottom side first. And this thawing comes because the ground below it is warm first. Then thawed carbon dioxide gas builds up pressure, and the gas escapes through vents in the overlying sheet of ice, pulling dust with it. So the carbon dioxide that comes from the thawing of the ice below the ground escapes through vents in the overlying sheet of remaining ice, and it pulls dust with it. This process carves the channel that resembles legs of a spider. Very interesting. Now I'm going to get back to the professor, Schwab, and she says, and quote, "The trapped carbon dioxide gas that carves the spiders in the ground also breaks through the thawing ice sheet. It lofts dust and dirt that local winds then sculpt into hundreds of thousands of dark fans that are observed from orbit. For the past decade, HiRISE has been monitoring this process on other parts of the South Pole. The 20 new regions have been added to this seasonal monitoring campaign. Without the efforts of the public, we wouldn't be able to see how these regions evolve over the spring and summer compared with other regions. This is a lot of human effort in this. Imagine 10,000 volunteers, so they do a lot of good work. Some of the high-rise observations, guided by the volunteers' input, conferred spider terrain in areas not previously associated with carbon dioxide slab ice. From what we've learned, so says Professor Candace Hansen, the Deputy Principal Investigator of the Planetary Science Institute in Tucson, Arizona, and quote, from what we've learned about spider terrain elsewhere, slab ice must be involved at the location of these new observations, even though we had no previous indication of it there. Maybe it's related to the erodibility of the terrain. So this, I guess, is just looking at this thing. It's, there's ice on Mars. That means there was water now and there's water before. But in this case, it looks like it's frozen and it's beneath the surface. The principal volunteer participation continues, and new CTX images have been added for examining additional areas in Mars's south polar region. Planet 4 Terrains, so that is the name of the website, Planet, P-L-A-N-E-T, 4, F-O-U-R, colon, Terrains, that's the website, is on a platform released by the Zoo Universe, which hosts 48 projects that enlist people worldwide to contributing to discoveries in fields ranging from astronomy to zoology. For information how to participate, visit http://terrains.planet4, so that's written in letters, planetfor.org. So this is all in lowercase letters. So that is interesting. I think I'll look it up myself. So right now it's about a quarter after. When I come back, we're going to look at some more planetary science. Even though I said I'm more of an, I am interested in astrophysics, planetary science is a really interesting thing to examine as well. So this is Marco. You're listening to Astro Talk on CITR 101.9.
This is my life. I wake up in the morning, I eat, I sleep, I shit.
Breakfast with the Browns.
So whatever it is, but I never shut it off for 5 minutes.
I can't wait to impress my friends with my astounding knowledge of cool.
Join your favorite Brownsters and tune in and listen to the best selection of down-tempo electropop lounge core.
Strictly Squaresville.
Remember, subtle, basic, Brown.
Breakfast with the Browns
on CITR 101.9 FM every Monday morning
from 8 a.m. to 11 a.m.
The older I get, the more life starts to make sense and the less I care.
Now we're riding the rainbow, the clouds big, and we're making it like young. Now we're riding the rainbow to Cloudsville, and we're making it like you. Now we're riding the rainbow to Cloudsville.
You know, you can give 100 examples of what it isn't, but you, man, you're gonna have a hell of a time saying what it is.
This is going out to the whole wide west side. I'm saying, yeah, break it down for me. Steady mobbing, rock, rock on.
I was just a young boy living in the hub city,
Eastside Compton.
Back in the days when Ice Cube and Easy had every talking about, boy, you can't.
This is Marco. You're listening to AstroTalk on CITR 101.9 on the west side at UBC.
Too short, bumped in every super boat and told us all how to ride for the west coast.
My people thinking, let me where you at, throw your gloves in the air and wave them like you just don't care. From LA to the Bay, what you say? All day, every day, any damn day. Take a look around, we got the whole world locked down.
Now going on and on and don't stop, won't stop.
That's why I put it down for the west side.
Ain't that long ago?
Oh no.
We were still in 40s out the liquor store.
Oh no.
Mama started tripping, so it's time to go.
Come out to the park with the locusts.
Everybody broke.
broke, smoking roaches. DJ Quick was the had every claiming he was from the CPT.
Y'all remember?
One time tried to clown. We had to burn this bitch on down. One time for my was in incarceration.
Hello, this is Marco. Welcome back. That was TQ on the West Side. So, we are going to look a bit on Jupiter. So there's a spacecraft called Juno. It entered orbit last month, and during the first part of its orbit, it went long. It was on an elliptical orbit, so it moved farther away from Jupiter. Now it's closing back in. So let's look at this. Now, October 19th, the article from yesterday from www.nasa.gov, Juno's first slice of Jupiter. That's the name of the article. So it shows a composite image of Jupiter, and it says, this composite image depicts Jupiter's cloud formations as seen through the eyes of Juno's microwave radiometer, MWR, instrument as compared to the top layer, a Cassini imaging science subsystem image of the planet. The MWR can see a couple of hundred miles or a couple hundred kilometers into Jupiter's atmosphere with its largest antenna. The belts and bands visible on the surface are also visible in modified form in each layer below. Now, I think one thing about Jupiter's atmosphere, or maybe it's Titan's, if we had wings, we could fly through that atmosphere. It's so thick. I believe it's Titan. So these atmospheres are very interesting, especially Titan, because they said that Titan, or what I've read from all the NASA websites is, or the articles, is that the atmosphere and the conditions on Titan resembled what was happening on Earth billions of years ago. So that's an interesting thing. Imagine if life evolved on Titan. So here they're studying the clouds and the atmosphere of Jupiter. I'm not sure if we could fly if we had wings on Jupiter, but I believe it's on Titan. Okay, so that's our first article on Jupiter. Let's go to another article. Okay, now this one is, oops, you know what? I accidentally closed the page. I was going to, I can open it again. Juno spacecraft in safe mode for latest Jupiter flyby. NASA's Juno spacecraft entered safe mode, just like we enter safe mode on our computer. Tuesday, October 18th at about 10:47 p.m. Pacific Daylight Time, early indications are a software performance monitor induced a reboot of the spacecraft onboard computer. Now, isn't it interesting they give it in Pacific Daylight Time? Usually everything is in Eastern Daylight Time, because this is probably being run by the folks at the Jet Propulsion Laboratory in Pasadena, California. They run everything. The spacecraft acted as expected during a transition into safe mode, restarted successfully, and is healthy. High rate data has been restored, and the spacecraft is conducting flight software diagnostics. All instruments are off, and the planned science data collection for today's close flyby of Jupiter, it's called Parajovi 2, did not occur. That's too bad. So says Rick Nybeken, Juno project manager from NASA's Jet Propulsion Laboratory in Pasadena, California. So I was right. It's being run by JPL, the Jet Propulsion Laboratory. At the time safe mode was entered, the spacecraft was more than 13 hours from its closest approach to Jupiter. We were still quite a ways from the planet's more intense radiation belts and magnetic fields. The spacecraft is healthy, and we are working our standard recovery procedure. Okay, so that's there. Something rebooted, like on our computer. Sometimes there's safe mode. The spacecraft is designed to enter safe mode if its onboard computer perceives conditions are not as expected. In this case, the safe mode turned off instruments and a few non-critical spacecraft components, and it confirmed the spacecraft was pointed towards the sun to ensure the solar arrays receive power. Mission managers are continuing to study an unrelated issue with the performance of a pair of valves that are part of the spacecraft's propulsion system. Last week, the decision was made to postpone a burn of the spacecraft's main engine that would have reduced Juno's orbital period from 53.4 to 14 day. The next close flyby is scheduled on December 11th with all science instruments on. So that was too bad. It seems that there was a close flyby planned. As I mentioned earlier, the Juno spacecraft is in elliptical orbit, so sometimes it goes quite far from Jupiter. So on this planned close flyby, instead of collecting all the data it wanted to, something happened and the computer went into safe mode. So there was no, I believe there was no data sent back or no data collected for what they were going to do. So have to wait till December 11th, which is maybe 2 months from now, close to 2 months from now, when hopefully the spacecraft will not kick into space mode again. Safe mode. The Juno science team continues to analyze returns from the first close flyby on August 27th. Revelations from that flyby include that Jupiter's magnetic fields and aurora are bigger and more powerful than originally thought. Juno's microwave radiometer instrument, MWR, also provided data that give mission scientists their first glimpse below the planet's glimpse below the planet's swirling cloud deck. The radiometer instrument can peer about 215 to 250 miles, which is something like 350 to 400 kilometers below Jupiter's clouds. And so says a NASA scientist. It didn't give his first name, just his last name. With his name is Bolton. It could be the head of NASA, because I think the head of NASA has a surname of Bolton. Anyway, quote, unquote, with a microwave radiometer data, it is as if we took an onion and began to peel the layers off to see the structure and processes going on below. We are seeing that those beautiful belts and bands of orange and white we see at Jupiter's cloud tops extend in some version as far down as our instruments can see, but seem to change with each layer. So each layer of the Martian atmosphere is different. Interesting. What does that mean? I don't know. The Juno public outreach camera was also operating during the August 27th flyby. The raw images from that flyby and all future flybys were made available on the Juno CAM website. That's www.missionjuno.swri.edu/JunoCAM. So again, www.missionjuno.swri.edu/JunoCAM for the public to not only peruse, but to process into final image projects. Now, wouldn't that be interesting? JunoCAM is the first outreach camera to venture beyond the asteroid belt. JunoCAM, or so says Candy Hansen, the JunoCAM imaging scientist from the Planetary Science Institute in Tucson, Arizona, and quote, JunoCAM has a small operations team and no image processing team. So we took a leap of faith that the public would step up and help us generate images of Jupiter from the raw data. All sorts of people are coming to the JunoCAM site and providing their own aesthetic. We have volunteers from all over the world, and they are doing beautiful work. So far, all our expectations for JunoCAM have not only been met, but are being exceeded, and we're just getting started. The final image products include straightforward images of the solar system's largest world, but also some with a certain artistic license, including a variation on Vincent van Gogh's Starry Night painting and even a smiley face made from an image of Jupiter's South Pole. Well, there you go. What science without smiley faces? These amateur-generated JunoCAM images are not only being used to help interest the media and public in this mission to the most massive planet in the solar system, but are engaging Juno's science team as well. So says Candace Hansen again, and quote, "The amateurs are giving us a different perspective on how to process images. They are experimenting with different color enhancements, different highlights or annotations that we would normally expect. They are identifying storms tracked from Earth to connect our images to the historical record. This is citizen science at its best." The Juno spacecraft launched on August 5th, 2011 from Cape Canaveral, Florida, and arrived at Jupiter on July 4th, 2016. So it's a few months ago it arrived. During its mission of exploration, Juno soars low over the planet's cloud tops as close as about 2,600 miles, or 4,100 kilometers. During these flybys, Juno will probe beneath a scurrying cloud cover of Jupiter and study its auroras to learn more about the planet's origin, structure, atmosphere, and magnetosphere. Some people call it magnetosphere. Juno's name comes from Roman mythology. The mythical god Jupiter drew a veil of clouds around himself to hide his mischief, and his wife, the goddess Juno, was able to peer through the cloud and reveal Jupiter's true natures. So thank you for listening today. Today we talked about, even though I didn't plan it this way, two citizen science projects. So remember, citizen scientists can get involved with NASA. So hopefully I'll talk about more about that one day. So thank you for listening. This is Marco. You've been listening to AstroTalk on CITR 101.9.